भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 3 लिबरेशन फ्रॉम द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 शौचम तपस्तितीक्षां च शौचम तपस्तितीक्षां च मौनं स्वाध्यायमार्जवम् मौनं स्वाध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंनयो समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंनयो शौचं तपस्तितीक्षां च मौनं स्वाध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंनयो शौचं तपस्तितीक्षां च मौनं स्वाध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंनयो शौचं तपस्तितीक्षां च मौनं स्वाध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंनयो शौचं तपस्तितीक्षां च यमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च त्वं दम् न संनयो मतजिस् शौचं तपस्तितीक्षां च मौनं स्वाध्यायमार्जवम् ब्रह्मचर्यम् अहिंसां च समत्वं द्वन्द्वसंनयो शौचं क्लिनलिनेस् तप ऑस्टेरिटी तितीक्षां टॉलरेंस च एंड मौनम साइलेंस स्वाध्यायम स्टडी ऑफ द वेदस आर्जवम सिंप्लिसिटी ब्रह्मचर्यम सेलिबसी अहिंसाम नॉन वायलेंस च एंड समत्वम इक्वानिमिटी द्वंद्व समनयो इन सिचुएशंस परसीव्ड इन टर्म्स ऑफ ड्युअलिटी translation and purport by His Divine Grace, by the servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To serve the spiritual master, the disciple should learn cleanliness, austerity, tolerance, silence, study of the Vedic knowledge, simplicity, celibacy, non-violence, and equanimity in the face of material dualities such as heat and cold, and happiness and distress. We are continuing the purport from where His Grace Vasudeva Prabhu left yesterday, same verse. He covered the purport till Arjava, till the Maunam part. Today we'll start with the Swadhyayam. Swadhyayam means that one should study Vedic literature according to his individual ability and also teach others. In Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that a Brahmana should have the qualities of Jnana and Vijnana, scriptural knowledge and practical realized application of knowledge. Specifically, one should study those books which increase one's desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Ashtottarashata Shri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada has written in a few short years a veritable library of transcendental knowledge. It is being practically seen throughout the world that when the principle of Swadhyayam or Vedic study is applied to these books, such as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and the Nectar of Devotion, the sincere reader becomes infused with the ecstatic determination to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness is expanding all over the world on the basis of this transcendental literature. Swadhyayam does not indicate speculative or imaginary interpretations of religious scriptures. One should not try to read many books to increase his false prestige as a so-called scholar. One should read those books which inspire practical spiritual advancement in knowledge and renunciation, as exemplified by the books of Srila Prabhupada. The word Arjavam indicates simplicity or straightforwardness. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Swachatam or clarity, transparency is a synonym for straightforwardness. Unless one is pure in consciousness, he will adopt many crooked means. Straightforwardness does not indicate that one should insult others in the name of honesty, but that one should speak the humble truth. The word brahmacharyam or celibacy indicates either renouncing completely the association of women or following strictly the Vedic principles of householder life, which regulate sex life for the purpose of procreating saintly children. Ahimsa indicates one should not commit violence against any living entity. Unless one is aware of the subtle laws of karma by which a living being enjoys and suffers, one cannot actually practice ahimsa or non-violence. Ultimately, the material world is full of violence, and the laws of nature which impose old age, disease and death upon every living creature are themselves filled with violence. Therefore, if somehow or other one can convince others to surrender to Krishna and thus release themselves from the violent laws of material nature, that is perfection of ahimsa. Samatvam dvamda samnayo indicates one should keep a cool head even when disturbing material dualities become manifest. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 2.14, Matra sparshastu khonteya shitoshna sukha dukkada agamo paino nityastam titikshasva bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O son of Bharata, and one must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyaivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, seek the blessings and prayers, wishes of all the assembled devotees and also all those devotees that are hearing it online, watching it online and thank you for giving me an opportunity to share Srimad Bhagavatam, something about this very important verse. And this chapter, the name of this chapter is Liberation from Illusory Energy. And at the onset, we should understand that it's not easy to get out of illusion. Because illusion is such a trap that those who think they have got out, actually they have gone even deeper into the illusion. And there are three main illusions that we are all bound by. And these three illusions don't let us free, let us approach the Supreme Lord. The first illusion that we are all bound by is that pleasures are happiness. We all get confused with these two terms, that what gives pleasure to us gives happiness to us. And pleasures, you know, there are different: physical pleasure, mental pleasure, intellectual pleasure. And the world promises us that if you get these pleasures into your life, then you will be happy. A vacation will make you happy, a nice juicy item will make you happy, but these are all pleasures. The true happiness that Krishna consciousness or the Supreme Lord gives is in connection with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, many keep thinking that what makes me happy? But they are searching in the zone of pleasures. And in the zone of pleasures, there are so many things that apparently give us pleasure, but none of them actually make us happy, because happiness, what the definition of happiness is, something that is unending. Susukam kartum avyayam, something that has no end. The second illusion is that pains are misery. Something that is painful is suffering. Even that is not true. All of us have difficult time to wake up in the morning or go for a exercise, and they are all painful activities when you have to do day in and day out. And these pains, we confuse them with misery, that this is a misery, this is what a suffering is, the pains of old age, disease and death. But according to the scriptures, the real misery of a living entity is not all this. These are all just byproducts. The real misery is that we have got separated from the Supreme Lord. And when we can see from that platform, then even apparently not having any pains around us, we still know that I am not safe yet. I have to reach the Supreme Lord. And the third illusion is that freedom is in control. That when you are, when can you see the, say that you are free? When you can be in control of your life, be in control of whatever you want to get, you get them. And this is termed as freedom in this world. But real freedom is actually to be under the control of the internal energy of Krishna. Be under His control, not under the control of the mind. Therefore I had sent a quote that freedom is not what is to, is not the ability to do whatever you like, but it is in the ability or the facility to do what is right. And what is right is to approach the Supreme Lord. And these three illusions are a, of course there are many illusions that Srimad Bhagavatam speaks, but I put down as these three as the main illusions that keep us in this world. And it is not at all easy to get out of the illusion. Therefore, this particular verse and the whole section is about approaching a proper spiritual master, approaching a guru that will help us to go beyond the illusion. And here in this particular verse, for one to approach a spiritual master, what are the qualities of a disciple that are need to be there? And so it's a whole list of 4-5 verses that just give on different qualities. Once in 1966, in the early days of ISKCON, just yesterday was the incorporation day of ISKCON, and Vasudepu very brilliantly told the initial struggles that Srila Prabhupada faced, some of them. So in the early days of ISKCON movement, 1966, Srila Prabhupada had to, there were no books there yet, all the books that are. So Srila Prabhupada wrote down the 26 qualities a devotee needs to have. They are in the nectar of devotion, the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. And Srila Prabhupada wrote down them in a paper and gave to a disciple. And in the class, Srila Prabhupada wanted everybody to recite those qualities. And in the middle of the class, Srila Prabhupada asked, okay, where is the paper? And this disciple, he was not at, first of all, not sure which paper Prabhupada is talking about. Is it newspaper? Is it some bill? And then he remembered, oh, Prabhupada had given me a paper. So Prabhupada asked, so who has the paper? And one disciple raised the hand and he said, Prabhupada, the paper is in the drawer. So he had just taken the paper, he didn't even read or thought it is important, he just kept it in the drawer. And Prabhupada paused and in his usual style he said, oh, the drawer. And he said, they say the knowledge is in the books. But the knowledge is not supposed to be in the books. The knowledge is supposed to be in our hearts. And Prabhupada said that this list that I have, it is not a grocery list that you have to use some time to go and get something. But this is the list that we need to cultivate. And at times when we go through these qualities, it's sometimes depressing that ye sab karna hai. And humme dekhenge, if we see ourselves, we don't possess many of it or none of it. And why is such a big list given? When there is a marriage done, usually there is the matching of the qualities. There is the, and the guru, the spiritual master is like a matchmaker, somebody who fixes matches, not cricket matches, but the couples. And not literally that a guru arranges marriages, sometimes it has to be done or he gets into it. But guru is like a transcendental matchmaker, where he is trying to select the right bride for Krishna, the right person that can serve and please the Supreme Lord. And the many qualities that if you have to look for in a bride or a bridegroom, the many things that are looked. Once a man, he had to get married. And he was a rich man. The many brokers, match fixers that were saying, main aapka shaadi pakke kar dunga. And it's a prestige issue that I have fixed the match of this person. So one man went with three proposals, three very excellent proposals. And he gave this, said, ye ab teen proposal hai, you choose one of them because each one is very good. And he said, okay, bring all three of them. And when all three of them were brought to this rich man, he gave each them 1 lakh rupees and said, I give you this 1 lakh rupees. You can spend whichever way you want. We'll meet next week. And next week again, these three brides met this man. And he asked them, so what did you do with the 1 lakh rupees that I gave? The first girl, she said that, oh, I was always looking to buy this latest phone, maybe Moto G or Samsung Galaxy or iPhone 7. And as soon as I got the money, I immediately went and bought this phone. So now, so that we could take selfies. The second girl, she said that as soon as you gave me the money, always wanted to go on this vacation to Malaysia or different places. So I bought the tickets. In fact, I bought the tickets for both of us, so that both of us can go next week and we can have a nice vacation. And the third girl, she didn't spend the money. She put the money into fixed deposit, that we will use this money in the future. And the bride, the match fixer was also there. And he thought he is going to select the third girl, the wisest of all. But you know whom he selected? He selected the girl that was most beautiful. Jo sabse sundar dikhi usko, he selected her. And same way, the purpose of a guru is to look for the beautiful qualities in a disciple. And these qualities, this list that is given, are those that make us beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Not the external skin, not our accomplishments, but these particular qualities that are being given. And in another verse, in the third canto, again similar list is given. Titikshava Karunika Surhadasarva Dehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadavo Sadhu Bhushana. That a devotee of the Lord is adorned with these qualities. And in that, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that these qualities are like the bhushan, like the ornaments that make a devotee, make a person look beautiful or appear beautiful to the Supreme Lord. And Indradhanu Maharaj, he says that the qualities that we need to possess, we can't possess them ourselves. But when we try to get or live by these qualities, then Krishna gives these qualities as medals of accomplishment. Like anybody who attends journey of self-discovery, we give them a certificate of participation. So same way Krishna, when he is pleased that we have participated in the process of trying to get these qualities, then he awards these qualities. Otherwise on ourselves, it is very difficult to be able to get these qualities. So yesterday Vasudevapu ended with Maunam, and today we are supposed to discuss the rest of the qualities. Each one is a big mine in itself, lot of treasure that Ridhan Maharaj and Gopi Paradhan Prabhu, they have shared. But we'll go one by one and whatever time permits. And quite paradoxical here that after the quality of Maunam, the quality of Swadhyaya is given. Now these two are paradoxical. Somebody who knows a lot or who reads a lot, for him it is very difficult to keep quiet. Usually who keeps quiet? One who doesn't know. Therefore Prabhupada always used to say that a fool is known when he opens his mouth. But these two paradoxical qualities a devotee needs to have, that he needs to be silent and also he needs to speak and read the scriptures. And in the purport, the disciples of Prabhupada write that it is not just that we should read books. Read whatever books come, just keep reading. But read those books that actually increase our desire to serve the Supreme Lord. Most of us will come across different things on the internet, on different social media. And we usually just try to read everything. Just yesterday I got a research that within the first 3 minutes of when you, especially when a lady tries to go through a fashion magazine, she gets depressed within the first 3 minutes. Or a man, when he tries to read a finance or a Bollywood, Hollywood articles, within the first 5 minutes, they start to feel, I am no one, mere paas toh sab kuch hai nahi. So will people look at me, will somebody adore me? So therefore in the purport it is written that one should be careful to read those books that increase the desire to serve the Supreme Lord. And then they refer to the books of Srila Prabhupada. That these books that Srila Prabhupada has given, they are the right books to be read. And if somebody doesn't read these books but is reading everything else, then he doesn't get that proper direction, proper determination to be able to advance in Krishna consciousness. And one specific benefit that is written in the purport, that the benefit of reading Srila Prabhupada's books is one gets, develops an ecstatic determination to serve the Supreme Lord. Now all of us, determination is very weak. But when this was my experience when I was studying at IIT Bombay, I used to read many novels, lot of novels, different, whatever was available. But somehow somebody, one of the devotees, convinced me to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto. Maybe it was Gopinath Chandpu, because he used to read a lot. And he asked me, why don't you read the Bhagavatam? And I remember that experience that time, that the moment I was reading Bhagavatam, all the novels appeared to be like rubbish. That ye kya hai? And one of our devotees, he in fact took out all his cassettes, all his books in the hostel, aur uska ek holika banaya. He made a burning pyre. And in front of all the hostelites, he threw all the cassettes and all the things that you were previously reading into that ahuti. He said, main yagya kar raha hu and I'm going to give up all this. And it was quite a scene. It was the talk of the town. Ki wahan pe ek Hare Krishna ne yagya kiya hai. And so that ecstatic determination to serve the Supreme Lord, we all have experienced, may be experiencing now, may not be so much now because of the offenses or different laziness. But in preaching, we always see that those who start reading Prabhupada's books, they start to becoming ecstatic and determined. And this keeps happening, that I ask somebody to read and before reading he is quite flickering mind and all over the place, what should I do? But the moment they start reading the Bhagavatam, they start to becoming very, very much fixed up, very much determined, clear. And at times I have heard that, Prabhuji, abhi kabhi kabhi mandir aane ka bhi man nahi karta hai. Let me just keep, sit and keep reading Bhagavatam. I said, mandir bhi aao, because in the temple also whatever is being shared is Bhagavatam only. And your mind can deviate you some other time, and that time you will need the devotees. But otherwise, we can. And Chandramouli Maharaj, he shares one thing, that once when he was reading the Bhagavatam, he was absorbed and reading. And as he was reading, at one point of time, he stopped reading. It was no more reading. He heard Srila Prabhupada speak the Bhagavatam. He was not just reading, but the voice, it was an auditory experience. It was not a visual experience. He started to hear Srila Prabhupada actually read the books to him. And therefore, these are living books. They are living books, and when we take shelter of these books that Prabhupada has given, then we can experience that ecstatic determination to serve the Lord. And therefore Prabhupada, there are four baselines that we have. Books are the basis, preaching is the essence, utility is the principle, and purity is the force. But to get the purity, we have to force ourselves to follow this. And that is about Swadhyayam, and endeavor to sit and read or hear the scriptural knowledge, the pure knowledge that we have access to. And Gaurangpur many times he says that if there is one thing that is the most purest and not has been mishandled, it is the Srila Prabhupada's books. And as long as these are there, then the real ISKCON can never be shaken up. The next quality that a disciple needs to have is that of arjavam, is that of simplicity. Now we are simply staying in a city, and this city is filled with lot of complexity. There are lot of inferiority complexity, there are lot of superiority complexity, and there are also places like BKC, Bandra Kurla Complex, or Andheri Sports Complex. And usually in today's setup, complexity is what is adored or glorified. But for us to take to Krishna consciousness or advance or become a proper disciple, the heart has to be simple, simplicity. And in this world where things are complex, people are complex, it is not easy to have this quality going on. But if you are able to protect this quality of simplicity, then it is very wonderful that although highly learned but simple at heart. They say that there are two processions that happen on the streets. One is a marriage procession, another is a death procession. These are, of course, in devotees we have Nagar Sankirtan procession, Ratyatra procession, but otherwise there are only two processions that happen. And they say that they can't understand why in the marriage procession everybody walks ahead and in the death procession everybody walks behind. Of course, one lesson they give is that in times of happiness, sab aage jate, keep everybody is in ahead of us, front of us. But in times of distress, then everybody takes a back seat. And as long as the person is living, nobody glorifies him. But as soon as we put a garland on the photo of that person, everybody glorifies the photo. The photo is glorified, not the person is glorified. And so this is not easy to understand why such a tradition is there. Or another thing that they say is that a wine, somebody who sells wine, daru bechne wala, ek jagah pe baitha rehta. He sits at one place and everybody comes and buys from him. Sometimes he has to, in fact, close the door and you see these wine shops, there is only a small entrance that is kept. But jo doodh bechta hai, one who sells milk, he has to go from house to house. वो घर घर जाके उसको बेचना पड़ता है, दूध ले लो दूध. लेकिन दारू बेचने वाले को एक जगह बैठा है. इनफैक्ट शुड बी द ऑपोजिट, देर शुड बी मोर मार्केट फॉर मिल्क देन फॉर वाइन. एंड बट पीपल आर डाइंग टू बाय वाइन बट नॉट मिल्क. व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ द डिवाइन, द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. That most of the devotees in the evening they have to go like doodh bechne wala, gali gali jaake le lo, please take this milk, knock the door, knock the windshield and say please take this milk, dugdham, that this milk of Gita, please take this. So we are like milkman trying to share the milk, of course. So therefore, in such a complex world where wrong things are glorified and right things are not glorified, to have a simple heart and focus on Krishna is not easy. But if we can develop this quality of simplicity, then we no more just stay in a city, but we actually stay in Vrindavan. And that's why even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that the first quality of a disciple, of a devotee is saralata, is simplicity. And another thing that in this thing that Prabhupada, that the disciples of Prabhupada say, that simplicity can be equated to straightforwardness. And straightforwardness doesn't mean that you just go and blast, just say this truth that also affects that person. But the way Krishna has told, anudvega karam vakyam, the first aspect is not to agitate the person. So therefore, when you state a fact, when you state something, it is not just truth. There is something called as mithya, there is something called as tathya, and there is something called as satya. So mithya is wrong information, wrong data, jo hai hi nahi, that has been concocted and has is being shared. So many misinformation, so that is mithya, wrong information. Now tatya, tatya is as it jo hua, jaisa aaj tak, jaisa hua vaisa bata de. It is just information, but there is no more understanding of will this information be digestible to this person or am I presenting it properly. Jo hua wo bata diya. That is called as tatya. But satya, truth, is that which helps that person take a step towards Krishna, towards the Supreme Lord, and helps him to stop something from doing wrong. And we may say, I am telling the truth, but you may be just saying, and just an information. Therefore, even there is a whole field of science called as data matrix, or how do you understand information, how do you understand so much data that is coming across. And we cannot possibly process all the information, all the data that comes, and and they call this as the DIKW model, where the data that is coming, when you put it into proper context, then that becomes an information. All of us have experience of files in our computer or laptop which don't have an extension. All files have an extension. .txt, .txt, .doc, .excel. Then you know what is the context in which you have to open. But there are some files which you don't know konsa file ke saath kholne ka. And if you open with the wrong software, what do you see in that? Just 01, 01, 01, or something that we cannot understand. It's data, but it is not in the proper context. And fortunately, if you know ye konsa, unless trial and error, or sometimes you know this is a 400 MB file, then you know for sure this is a video file. Then you give it an extension, rename it .avi or .mov, .mp4. Then what happens? Then that data becomes an information, something that has some meaning to it. So when that information is organized, then it becomes knowledge. If the information is not organized, then it doesn't become knowledge. And when the knowledge is given an insight, when you get an insight into the knowledge, then it becomes wisdom. And when the wisdom is coupled with purpose, then you are able to take decisions. So every one of us is very poor in decision making, because first of all we don't have wisdom. And why wisdom is not there? Because lack of proper purpose, or the insights are not there. And the purpose of Bhagavatam is mainly for that. An example is given for this model. This is a model that scientists are trying to study, that so much data comes on the internet, so much is there in the files, but how do you make sense of it? It is called as data matrix. And one example is given, that to know at what speed the car is running, say 60 miles per hour, 60 kilometers per hour, is knowledge. But to know that the car is running towards you is wisdom. Wo aapke taraf hi aa raha hai. Sorry, first is information. To know that the car is running at this particular speed is information. But to know that the car is running towards you is knowledge. And to get out of the way is wisdom. That avoid the danger and get out of the way. Otherwise, now today's world, lot of information is there, lot of knowledge is also there, that how smoking is injurious and this and that, lot of information about how these gadgets are killing us, so much is there, but it has not become wisdom, and therefore we are not, and it is not coupled with a purpose. And many times I come across the situation that there is something very tempting on the net that I need to read this, I need to watch this. Then immediately I get a reminder that in 2 hours you have a class to give. Then I tell my mind, now I got a purpose. I tell my mind, abhi kuch nahi karne ka, because I have to prepare for the class. And when that purpose is there, then you actually stick to the path. Therefore, it is very difficult to avoid Maya. Only way to avoid Maya is keeping ourselves busy with Krishna. If you are busy with Krishna, then only we can avoid Maya. Otherwise, Maya's power to get out of the illusion is very difficult. So this is about simplicity. Simplicity is also straightforwardness, simply stating the fact, but also making sure that the way you present it, it is for the benefit of the society, benefit of the person, not just something that you share and that person just gets devastated. The next quality that a disciple needs to have, we'll need to cultivate this, is brahmacharya. Now this is not just being spoken for one gender or one age, but for all ages and genders, that for a disciple to be able to serve the spiritual master, he need to follow, he need to be on the path of spirituality. Brahma charya. Charya means one who follows. Brahma is spiritual. One who can follow, and in literal meaning is that of celibacy. And I already shared this, that there are 4 types of brahmacharis which Prabhupada states in the Krishna book in the 87th chapter. The first type of brahmachari is called as a Savitra Brahmachari. Savitra Brahmachari is one who observes the vow of celibacy mentally, physically, for the first 3 days after his initiation. His diksha has happened first or second, and he follows the vow of celibacy for the first 3 days. That is known as Savitra Brahmachari. Another is Prajapatya Brahmachari. Prajapatya Brahmachari is one who observes the vow of celibacy for the first 1 year of initiation. That first 1 year, no indulgent into any kind of sexual activities. Next is a Brahma Brahmachari. Brahma Brahmachari is one who has not completed his study of Vedic literatures. That abhi Prabhupada ke kitabe padke hua nahi. So till I study, complete the Vedic literatures, I will remain a brahmachari, a celibate. I will not indulge into. Because study and pleasure, they don't go well. In a comfortable AC room, or in a place where everything is comfortable, if you try to read there, then after some time, you use the book as a pillow and sleep. Therefore, austerity and study, they go well together. Doesn't mean too much. Nowadays, many of the schools are becoming air conditioned. I don't know how students, of course in city like Bombay, maybe it is more convenient to study in such atmospheres. That is a Brahma Brahmachari. Till the Vedic literatures are complete, he takes a vow. Something like which Haridas Thakur, of course he was a Naishtik Brahmachari, but he told Maya Devi, till I complete my rounds, I will not enjoy with you. So she was waiting. So till I complete the study of Vedic literatures, I will not get married or indulge into this. The 4th type of brahmachari is a Naishtika Brahmachari, who takes a vow, who remains celibate for his whole life. Now we don't know which section we fall into. The 4th section is what everybody aspires for, or everybody hopes, okay, let me complete the race. And Prabhupada says that, the disciples of Prabhupada say that, to not indulge into any kind of sexual enjoyment, even within the mind or physically. There are 8 types of brahmacharya, that through seeing, hearing, talking, actual physical activity. So different aspects are there. So that's about brahmacharya is very important if somebody wants to serve the spiritual master peacefully. The next quality that is discussed here is ahimsa. Ahimsa is non-violence. But in the first canto, in the section where Parikshit is facing Kali, there Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport about all the four regulative principles. And in the regulative principle of no meat eating, which is as the principle of ahimsa, he says the basic principle of ahimsa, of course basic principle of no meat eating is not to cause violence, and the basic principle of ahimsa is sensitivity, or imsa is insensitivity. When you are insensitive to anyone in this world and hurt him in any way, then that is himsa. So we can be insensitive to our own needs, to our own body. We can be insensitive to others and cause violence. Therefore, Radhanand Maharaj always sometimes says that there are some religions that are very kind to humans but cruel to animals. And in some religions we are very kind to animals but very cruel to humans. And the one thing that I liked about this particular purport is that the disciples say that how, when can one practice this principle of sensitivity properly? When he understands the laws of karma. Because when you understand the laws of karma, then it is very easy to be sensitive to others, because you know, if I am insensitive to an animal or a human, then somebody else will become insensitive to me. And therefore, and one child in the classroom, the teacher asked him, okay, tell me the laws of motion, the laws of Newton's laws. We many times equate laws of karma to Newton's laws, very closely connected. So this child said that I continue to sleep in the bed till an external force of mother comes and wakes me up. And till she comes and wakes me up, and depending on how the action is, the reaction will be there. That how I will react. There is also, somebody has compiled laws of motion. There are laws, very similar laws of emotion. Of course we won't go into that. But the laws of karma, they are, when we understand the laws of karma, we become very responsible with the way we speak, the way we behave, because everything is going to come back. There is a nice story to understand the laws of karma, that once in a village, in a very rich house, there was a marriage. And in the marriage, after the marriage happened, the bride came, and the bride was a very pious lady, very devoted. But nobody in the house was practicing any kind of spirituality. And once when the father-in-law, Sasur, he was taking a meal, he was taking in the balcony outside, veranda. And when he was taking the meal outside the in the veranda, a beggar came to ask for some roti. And when he came, and this man, he was not a charitable man, he said, go away. Jao yahan se. And we also have experienced that at times when we are just having something to eat, say in a train or in the car, and some beggar comes. If there is nothing in our hands, it's easy to say, kuch nahi jao. Or we may give some money. But say when there is a sandwich or there is a cookie in our hand, that time it's really awkward, because the man is looking at you and is looking at your food. Say, how can you say, I don't have anything? And this man just said, kuch nahi jao. And he was confused, and he was looking at the daughter-in-law, at this lady. Come on, you are serving so much food to him, why can't you give me something? And this daughter-in-law, she replied something. By hearing this, this beggar went away from there. She said, ये कल का खाना है, खाना है? She said, this is yesterday's food, do you want to eat? Now at those times even beggars had standards. That beggar said, कल का खाना हम नहीं खाएंगे, and he went away. Nowadays, most of the working people, they just keep in the fridge, और कल का क्या, परसों का, तरसों का भी खाते. So कल का खाना, as soon as he heard, this beggar went away. But more than the beggar, the father-in-law got offended. That ये मुझे जो खिला रही है, ये कल का है. ठीक है, कभी कभी घर में कुछ रहता नहीं है, sometimes there is nothing in the house, but at least you tell the person whom you are feeding that this is yesterday's food, will you still keep to like to have? But here the daughter-in-law didn't tell him anything, was just feeding him. So he really got offended and he went to the panchayat and he said, I want to divorce my daughter-in-law. Husband was not divorcing. The father-in-law said, I don't want this daughter-in-law, because without telling me, she is feeding me yesterday's food. So they called the daughter-in-law. The daughter-in-law appeared there and she was a very pious lady. So they asked, why is it that you are feeding him yesterday's food? ठीक है, खिलाए तो भी ठीक है, बताना तो चाहिए. Sometimes, of course, once in a while it may happen in our kitchen that some pav is left or some rice is left and next day morning something is made out of it. But usually it is told, ये कल का है, खाना ही तो कहो, otherwise there is other option. So he said that I don't want, because she is not behaving properly. And then she opened her mouth. She said, I wanted to teach my father-in-law a lesson, because he was not at all practicing any kind of spirituality, and I wanted to teach him a lesson. Obviously, I won't feed him yesterday's food. But the meaning I meant was that whatever you are eating today is yesterday's earning. Aur ye aaj jo bhi kha rahe hum, wo kal ka khana hai. And today if you don't work, if you don't do some good activities, spiritual activities, then you tomorrow will be a doomsday. Tomorrow you will not have anything because you didn't do any pious activities. So although we may be eating today's cooked food, but still most of us eat yesterday's food. But of course with prasad, I say prasad is tomorrow's food. Why tomorrow's food? Because something which we don't deserve, the mercy, is coming today. Ki jo we don't deserve, that is coming. So the difference between normal food and prasad, normal food is yesterday's food and prasad is tomorrow's food. And when we understand this laws of karma, that whatever we do, we get back today or tomorrow, we become sensitive in our dealings, and in such a sensitive way we will be able to serve and please the spiritual master. And last, samatvam is equanimity, having a cool head. Prabhupada disciples write here that to be having a cool head in our, and therefore they say that we should have an ice factory on our head, a sugar factory in our mouth, and a love factory on our heart. Then our life will become satisfactory. So having cool head, it's another topic, but if you can remain cool, everybody is telling us you are a fool, that is a great quality by which we will be able to please the spiritual master, that way achieve the, get out of this cycle of birth and death, get out of the three illusions that I spoke about. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Don't take any questions, I already exceeded 5 minutes.